Welcome to Lehigh Valley Art Salon on this brisk and cold evening in January. I'm your host tonight, Sheila White, and we are going to start off a wonderful conversation with one of the most respected artistic directors in the Lehigh Valley, Deborah Sakarakis from the Zollner Art Center.
Thank you, Sheila. Hello, and hello to all your listeners. It is a rather brisk evening, but it's a pleasure to be with you on the air.
Yes, and it's quite toasty in the station here, so we're glad to have a chance to just talk about one of the premier sites for the arts in the Lehigh Valley since 1995.
Yeah, Zollner Art Center has been home for a presenting series for the Department of Music, the Department of Theater, and some really beautiful gallery space at Lehigh University on the south side of Bethlehem.
Mm-hmm. And there have been wonderful moments, some premieres, some new works that have come from artists that you've helped nurture, relationships with ballet companies, dance companies. The impact that the programming has made to so many artists and communities has been astounding when you think about the 22 plus years. And you started when you were 12 years old, right?
Yes, exactly.
Of course. Well, let's start off talking about the second half of the season. You've got a wonderful program coming up. And, of course, the big one that I know my kids were drooling over was Renee Elise Goldsberry coming to town.
Yeah, we're so happy to start 2019 with Renee Elise Goldsberry. You know, she's the Tony Award and Drama Desk Award winner for her role in the musical Hamilton, but mm-hmm. She is no stranger to Broadway. That was not her intro. She was in Rent. She was in Lion King. She's been on television. I think she was in The Good Wife, and she's been in film. So she's a consummate performer, mm-hmm. actress, singer. And when she comes to us on Saturday, February 2nd, she's coming with an instrumental ensemble and I believe two backup singers. It's always been a dream of mine, so I may try to sneak on stage.
No.
Just kidding.
You'll contain yourself. Do you think she'll be singing any of her pieces from Hamilton?
They were non-committal about that, but were enticing about the possibility of her doing some, you know, reprising some of the music from Hamilton.
Well, our listeners may have seen her work if they were watching the Kennedy Center Honors recently. The Three Sisters came back.
Trio. That was great.
Yes, there's something about that trio that just makes everyone snap their fingers and go, yeah. So it'll be great to see her in town, and I know that there's a lot of Hamilton fans that also came to hear Leslie Odom Jr. last year.
Yeah, it was great to have Leslie Odom, and so this is a very nice follow-up to that. You know, she certainly stands on her own. She's a great performer in her own right, but it's a nice segue. Mm-hmm. So we hope everybody comes out on Feb 2nd to see Renee Elise Goldsberry.
Oh, yeah. And then after that, you've got some incredible programming that it seems to be a mix of world cultures and like a window to the world that you can get in a seat at Baker Hall.
Well, that's part of the curatorial process, that is integrating some of the best in U.S. performers and performances, as well as including performers from around the world. So on Sunday, February 10th, folks have the opportunity to see the Shanghai Opera Symphony Orchestra. They'll be playing Berlioz's Symphonie Fantastique.
Ooh.
And the Barbara Seville, Rossini's Barbara Seville Overture. And then a wonderful piece called The Butterfly Lovers. So that, although it's not used, they don't use Chinese instruments per se, they use a pentatonic scale, so it has an Asian feel to the composition. And it's really quite a beautiful piece. And one that if you're a fan of figure skating, it's actually a piece that you may listen to and say, oh, I've heard that before. And in fact, you probably have in some of the figure skating competitions.
Well, we actually heard that piece in the Lehigh University Philharmonic.
Excellent.
Concerto Marathon. Yes, yep. Because we had one of our violinists play the solo part, but it's a big flute part too in that piece. And I agree with you. It's really got that flavor of the Oriental Chinese with not only the pentatonic scale but a lot of parallel fifths.
Right.
And it's just a lovely melody, and the storyline is just so endearing.
The concerto, it will be played as a violin concerto.
Good.
Although I understand that now sometimes the piece is played with pipa or air hu, so
ooh.
I think they're incorporating Chinese instruments, but unfortunately not for this show on February 10th at
nice.
Zollner.
Okay, so that's the Shanghai Symphony, and then you said in March you also have some wonderful international artists coming as well.
Yeah, so in addition to bringing the folks from Shanghai, we have Manazel Brass. It's a return visit from amazing players from Vienna. It's a septet. The guys met at the conservatory and decided they would get a performance together, and in fact have been really astonishing people from around the world. And I have to say that brass players, I'm in awe of brass players who will travel great distances to see their compatriots perform. And what you can expect is really virtuosic playing, and I mean that in terms of playing their instruments, but also playing on stage. They are truly clowns.
Yes.
The piece that the performance they're doing at Zollner, and that's going to be on Saturday, February 16th, is actually called Cirque. So you know when performers take the stage and they incorporate humor or they start clowning around, you can't do that unless you have the chops, unless you have the skill set and the latitude to play.
And the control.
And the control.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I've seen them before at Zollner maybe 4 or 5 years ago and was pretty astonished at their flexibility, shall we say, and their the physical endurance that they have to have besides just their chops. I mean, it's really a wonderful show, and it's not something that you can hear in a radio program or on a CD. You have to see it in person to really get the most of it.
So, and we have other non-U.S. performers. Murphy's Celtic Legacy, honoring the Irish traditions, folk traditions, will be at Zollner.
March 13th?
Yeah, March 13th. Mm-hmm. And with live musicians, instrumental musicians, obviously dancers, and a little different take on traditional folkloric instrument and dance performance. That is, they incorporate folklore, so there's a story woven into the actual performance. So it's an engaging music of Irish dance, instrumental music, and folklore.
Nice. That sounds like a lovely evening.
Yeah, we have, in addition to that, in terms of dance, following right up on that is the Russian National Ballet and their performance of Don Quixote. That's on Sunday, March the 17th. And the Minkus is the composer, and Petipa is the person who did the storyline, but also did the amazing choreography. So for listeners who have seen the Russian National Ballet at Zollner or around the Lehigh Valley before, you know that these are consummate dancers. And it's great to be able to share cultural traditions from different countries. And certainly the Russian National Ballet is one of Russia's treasures. So
it'll be great to see them. Well, in addition to your guest artist series, you pair them up with the opportunity for school shows.
Right. So we have actually two school shows this coming semester or this coming half of 2019, and that's Murphy's Celtic Legacy will be doing a school show on the day of their performance, and then we also have a wonderful show called Henry Ford's Innovation Nation, and that's on Friday, March the 8th. It's based on a CBS Saturday morning show, which I am a pretty faithful follower of that television show. And the conceit or the game plan for the show is to share interesting innovations, whether they're historic or current, that have moved the society along. One of my favorites is Lonnie Johnson, I think, is a NASA engineer who, in his spare time, developed the Super Soaker.
A very important toy.
Absolutely,
for all.
You know. Another segment was about a young man who developed an app that could take a picture of somebody's pupil. This used for sports to determine whether there was any head injury to a person when they were on the field playing sports, so that if somebody had a substantial injury and wanted to get back in and play the game, you know, coach or somebody could determine in short order that the person really shouldn't get back out there.
Wow.
But it's pretty amazing to listen to all these wonderful things that are coming from the creative process, mm-hmm. as it's realized in different disciplines like architecture, you know, 3D printing houses. So
I can imagine that speaks a lot to people in our community who have been visiting the Fab Lab at Northampton Community College on the South Side, or, you know, 3D printing. It's, you know, I can almost guarantee in 10 years we're all going to have one in our homes.
And actually, when we do that performance on Friday, before the performance, Brian Slocum, who's
who's a genius, I might say,
at Lehigh, yes, is actually going to do a pre-show talk about innovations that are coming out of the student body at Lehigh University.
You know, so over at engineers. The Baker Institute or the technical engineering? Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. These students, I don't know where they get their ideas, but Brian is he's the kind of guy that every campus needs to have.
Absolutely.
Because he helps empower their ideas and helps them not only come from imagination, but all the way to reality. So, yeah, just to be able to have him do a lecture ahead of time, I mean, that sounds like a very inspiring afternoon.
Well, that's one of kind of the directives of putting shows together. You know, we look for people to perform at the top of their discipline, and trust that inspires people to perform at the top of theirs, you know, whether it's in engineering or mathematics. You know, if you're looking at somebody who's a prima ballerina or somebody who is delivering a beautiful musical performance, we trust that will inspire you to be the best at whatever it is that you're doing.
Mm. Well, we're talking a lot about the programs that are at Zollner and, you know, the guest artists. There's much more that we're going to be talking about in our second half. So we're going to take a break just for a few sponsor notes. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more with Deb Sakarakis, the Artistic Director of the Zollner Arts Center. This is Lehigh Valley Art Salon.
Spread the word about your business or organization to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR news and locally produced programs reaches thousands of engaged listeners in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable and effective way to provide information about your product and services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, 610-694-8100, extension 6, or WDIY.org.
And we're back. A very nice program announcement for anyone listening who would be interested in becoming a sponsor at WDIY. We are definitely the station of many voices and real choices. So we got Deborah Sakarakis here, the Artistic Director of the Zollner Art Center.
Hello again.
Yes. And we've been talking a bit about the second half of the season of the guest artist programs. One of the things that I find particularly inspiring and why I have such respect for you as an artistic director is how you connect in the community with so many topics. It's not just a cultural outreach and connection, but it's also about issues of the day. And also in multiple media forms. So yes, of course, there's the lively arts with the ballet and symphony and wonderful musicians. But you also have the series called Notations, which I believe is probably one of the most innovative programs that any art center in the Lehigh Valley has actually launched. And you sustain this over a number of years.
Thank you. Yes, it's a really wonderful program. So in addition to supporting the performing arts, we make a concerted effort to share the love with literary artists. And this coming season, we will have on Thursday, February 7th, Anita Hill, who's the author of two books, and her talk begins at 7:30 p.m. In addition to that, we will have Dana Gioia. He will be at Zollner Arts Center on Thursday, February the 28th. Dana was a chairman of the National Endowment for the Arts and is, in fact, poet laureate of the, I believe it's the state of California. Mm-hmm. He's a wonderful poet. I think he wrote a book, Why Poetry, that got a lot of attention. And he's also a librettist. So he's doing a lecture or a reading with us with the Notation series on Thursday, February 28th. That's at 7:30 p.m. And then the following Saturday, the very next Saturday, it will be the premiere, I believe the premiere, of a piece called Haunted, which is an opera by Paul Salerni. Paul Salerni wrote the score, and Dana Gioia wrote the libretto.
And these two have collaborated on many things before.
Really great operas.
Yes.
You know, so it'll be exciting. You know, so you get the opportunity to come hear Dana read, and maybe I'm fairly certain Salerni will be there. Maybe they can make some kind of comment about the literary music collaboration, talk about partnering on creative projects. So you can get to hear Dana read on Thursday, and you can come to hear the opera on Saturday.
That sounds like a really thought-provoking series.
I think it's a great opportunity. And then at the end, or on March 27th, at the end of the month, we have a writer's panel that's curated by Stephanie Powell Watts. She's my co-conspirator, my collaborator, and my dear friend. And she's put together a writing panel. It's called Inspiration and Invention. And that's on Wednesday, March the 27th. It's at 4 o'clock. Everybody's welcome. You don't have to write. But if you do, you might be inspired by some of the comments. I think there'll be four writers from not only the Lehigh Valley, but further afield to share their talents and their thoughts on writing.
Lehigh's campus is about to step into gear. Their classes are starting this week again?
Right.
Today.
They're in, yes.
They were in today. Yep. But in that quiet moment between New Year's and the first day of classes, I know that artistic directors and programmers from all over the country gather in the Super Bowl of conventions called APAP.
APAP, the Association of Performing Arts Professionals.
Yes, and this is a conference that's typically held in New York City, usually during the bitter cold days of January.
Yeah, you'd think they could pick a better time.
No, this is it. But you had just come back from another trip. I think this might be an interesting topic for our listeners because, you know, often, you know, what does an artistic director do? You know, what is their main job? And APAP is a part of that. But when you go to this convention, tell us what is it for the first discussion, and then what do you do there?
Well, the conference is quite wonderful. It provides professional development sessions for artists, for presenters. That's the discipline that I work in. It's people who put performances on stage, who curate series. I think at one point in history they were called empresarios.
Mm-hmm. Producers.
Producers. Mm-hmm. And Not specifically. So I think about a producer as somebody who's putting together a show from the ground up. Although we've done things like that, it's basically taking performances that are ready to tour and working with agents to develop an avenue that mm-hmm. makes sense for performance for performers and performances. So to route things at the for the convenience of the performer. And some of what we, you know, some of what I do is to make certain I stay abreast of what a particular company might be doing. You know, and I'm sure your listeners understand that performances, companies change, the personnel in companies change. Mm-hmm. You know, people's performances change. They may be listing one way or another, be incorporating more original work, or they may in fact be covering. You know, mm-hmm. they may their latest album may be covering some standards or some classical pieces. So staying abreast of what's out there, what's available, and trying to get it to make sense in relation to what's going on in the community and what we'd like to share with folks in the community. I think it's not only important to know what's going on throughout the nation, but also understand what's going on throughout the world, to develop an appreciation for the cultural heritage, especially in Bethlehem, especially in the Lehigh Valley. I think we have such a diverse cultural population, and it's quite a thrill to be able to acknowledge all that diversity through performances that you get on stage. You know, to acknowledge the heritage and the goodness of various and sundry cultures.
It also sounds like your job is taking a little bit of what's out there. And when you were talking a little bit, you're talking about working to make sure that there's a route that makes sense for the artist, that sometimes you have to negotiate or work with presenters in other states and other venues to try to make sense of the artist's path so that they're not going from East Coast to West Coast the next weekend and then back to the East Coast the following weekend. You're actually trying to help out these tours to make routes that make sense.
Right. That's certainly a pragmatic way to do it. But I have to say there are, in fact, people who do jump from coast to coast.
But that's part of keeping costs down, too.
Right.
You know,
right.
And so I can imagine that your job is a myriad of puzzles. That, you know, it's not one box cover that you can say, I just have to find the pieces and fit that cover, because the cover changes.
Mm. And not the least is of the puzzles is, you know, the one that ends up being the series. You know,
yes.
I think that's the case for every presenter. And it's truly an interesting process. I have to say that sometimes I think maybe at January after APEP, I think it's done. And then all of a sudden, the puzzle falls apart, you know, for one reason or another.
Yeah.
And then all the pieces start to come apart. And so the process is trying to get it all back together and hopefully have it make some kind of sense.
Oh, Lord. Well, the other thing that you do with your programming is not just the cultural diversity, but the programming that happens at Zollner, especially with the family shows. It seems like it's not just geared toward the kids. It's actually geared toward multiple generations.
I think that's the best kind of performance, to be very honest with you. One that will speak to multiple levels of folk, you know, whether it be older folk or younger folk, and something that's intriguing. You know, we're joking earlier about, you know, the applicability of something like The Incredibles, you
yes.
know, well, and something like Innovation Nation or Murphy's Celtic Legacy. These are performances that can entertain young people as well as entertaining adults,
mm-hmm.
you know. So we hope that folks can find something for every age group or people who have interest in different disciplines and different cultural leanings, that they can look at Zollner and maybe find something to be of interest to them.
How would our listeners, if they have never gone to Zollner before, they would go on the website at zollnerartcenter.org.
Yep.
They could also call the box office. I think the number there is 610-758-2787. 2787, otherwise known as Arts. So if any listener is interested in either getting a season brochure or getting on the subscribers list, I'm sure just calling the box office, they would be able to help you out. This has been a conversation I wish would have been at least 2 more hours long with Tequila.
It's been a lot of fun, Sheila. Thank you.
To talk with Deborah. So I want to appreciate and thank Deborah Sakarakis, the Artistic Director of Zollner Arts Center. This is Lehigh Valley Art Salon. I'm Sheila White.